Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, headlines on a Thursday afternoon live from the Seattle Sports Star Banquet at the Westin Hotel. Headlines on Softy and Dick, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
How about them Cowboys?
You need tickets for any Seahawks game, home or away. VenueKings.com, baby, has you covered. Be sure and use code Softy at checkout for a little bit of a discount. All right, where do we start? Mariners have the day off today, thank God. Three-game series with the Astros starting tomorrow. Chris Flexen versus Justin Verlander. M's are 18-27, 2-8 in their past 10. Logan Gilbert tomorrow, on Saturday. And then Marco
Gonzalez
will go on Sunday.
The Heat shot a mighty 7 of 45 from 3 last night. In a 93-80 Celtics win, they take a 3-2 series lead back to Boston tomorrow night.
Let's see, NFL, Saints head coach. Who's the new coach of the Saints, by the way? Off the top of your head. You know it's not Sean Payton. Who's the new coach of the Saints? Anybody?
I don't remember.
His name is Dennis Allen.
Oh, yeah.
And he
right.
said today that receiver Michael Thomas, who missed the entire 2021 season with an ankle injury, should be good to go for training camp.
Warriors try to wrap up the Western Conference Finals tonight, becoming the first team since the Jordan Bulls to make the finals 6 times in 8 seasons.
Wow, is that true?
That's
How about
true.
That? What else? NHL, Rangers, Carolina, Game 5, Eastern Conference, second round, tied at 2. That's coming up tonight. And Edmonton and Calgary in the Battle of Alberta. Oilers up 3-1. They'll try and win the series at 6:30 tonight in Calgary.
Pelicans off-injured star Zion Williamson has been cleared to return to play without any restrictions as images of his broken foot show it is healed.
Let's see. Baseball scores. This is an accurate score, by the way. The Reds beat the Cubs today 20-5. How about this? Going into the series, the Reds had scored 170 runs on the year, and they got 20 in one game today against the Cubs. That's a final. UW football, some game times have been announced. The Kent State game in the opener, week 1, 7:30 at night. Portland State in week 2 at 1 o'clock. And the long-awaited game with Michigan State will kick off at 4:30 and air on ABC.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. We are honored. We are humbled. We are hashtag blessed to be at the Seattle Sports Star Banquet here at the Westin Hotel. Going to be a cavalcade of stars walking in here, but none bigger than me and Dick. I'll tell you that right now. From this point on, it's all downhill for as far as the celebrity status is concerned. Nothing will top having us here at the Sports Star Banquet. The only local radio show on the air, the only media people on the
That's
air
correct.
Right now from the Seattle Sports Star Banquet. Either A, makes us geniuses, or B, some kind of morons. I'm not sure which ones, but we are here at the Sports Star Banquet hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Obviously a lot to get to on the radio show, but let's face facts, guys. The big story tonight is the fact that Graz and Gas are going in as the winner of the Keith Jackson Award. Let's get a round of applause for Mike and Dave for all the hard work they've put into this radio station, this radio landscape, sports media in Seattle. And I guarantee you at some point in time, one of them, I can't guarantee you both, but one of them will stop by the radio show to say hello.
Yeah, when
maybe.
When you think of KJR, possibly. I mean, you think about I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. You think of KJR, and they are two of the absolute top names that come to your mind, and the fact that they were together and gracing us for so long was, it was just a part of my adolescence and early adulthood, and I'm just glad I got a chance to work with them.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if you'd reached puberty by the time those guys went on the air. It was
I'm 1990. Not sure I have yet either.
1990. Had you reached puberty by 1990 when Mike Gastineau was on the air?
I was 16. I was right in the middle of it. Man.
Yeah, you were just coming off your bar mitzvah speech.
Smack in
right
the middle
there.
Of it.
I remember I have vivid memories of literally standing in my bedroom when I was a kid at my house in Bellevue. And I was 17 years old. and I was looking up at a shelf, and I had an Emerson radio, right, with the speakers, like the little small boom box, the small silver mm-hmm. Emerson radio with the cassette deck and the speakers and all that stuff, and I'm listening to Mike Gastineau talk about how the Huskies just won the national title in January of 1991.
I mean, this thing, yeah. We just flipped the switch on this radio station.
Absolutely. Yeah, they've been on the air for, I mean, obviously the signal's been around for a long, long time on the AM side.
Right.
And by the way, you may have heard that we're on FM now, 93.3 KJR FM, but that's how far back I go with Mike. I remember listening to him describe the Huskies winning the damn national championship, how I used to call Graz's show, Dave in Bellevue. I'd go on the air and talk to Dave about baseball or football, whatever's going on. So the fact that these two knuckleheads are going into today, getting this award today as the Keith Jackson Award winners, good for them. It's an awesome deal, and we are fired up here to be a part of it, man. We have a lot to get to. Brett Boone's going to join us on the radio show, his weekly segment courtesy of VenueKings.com, coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and then about 4:30, 5 o'clock, I think I'd say all the festivities will begin here at the Westin Hotel. A bunch of stars are going to be here. KJ Wright apparently is going to be here. Tyler Lockett's going to be here. Sue Bird's going to be here. Stephen Fry, Christian Roldan's going to be here. If you're a soccer geek like our producer, you want to see the two MLS trophies and the CONCACAF Champions League final trophy, they're across the hall in that room over there. They thought it was not a good idea to put us in the same room with those trophies, so they're across the hall right now.
We'd break them.
But it's always a fun event, man. Always a hell of a time. So lots going on here at the Seattle Sports Star Banquet. I'll tell you what, man, our buddy Bill Barnwell from ESPN.com, do you follow him, by the way, on Twitter?
I do not. Okay. No, I do not.
Yeah, he's kind of a putz, to be honest with you. But, you know,
he and Prisco are kind of cut from the same cloth.
I don't think so. I like Pete Prisco a lot.
Really?
I think Pete Prisco has a lot of passion. He's a little boisterous, a little cantankerous at times, obviously.
It's a good word.
I just think this guy's a moron, the guy that works for ESPN. I don't know if I would call Pete Prisco a moron, but Bill Barnwell I might call a moron, to be totally honest with you. Prisco I would not call a moron for one simple reason. The guy's got like Philadelphia ties and knows a lot of people, by the way. So I don't want to call him a moron because I'd be swimming in Puget Sound.
Doesn't he live in Jacksonville?
He lives
though?
In Jacksonville, correct. But he's got that. He's got that kind
of. Are you
of
really tough if you live in Jacksonville? To be perfectly honest.
Well, I don't know. There are a bunch of wussies in Jacksonville.
Yeah, like a bunch of retired people, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Dick's going after the entire city of Jacksonville. Watch that hit Twitter, man. Seattle sports talk show host rips on entire city, calls a bunch of sissies. So I have no idea. But, yeah, he lives in Jacksonville, but he's got that Philadelphia background. Anyway, it's not the point. The point is Bill frickin' Barnwell of ESPN.com today put out a list of the best off seasons in the NFL from worst to first. And who do you think he's got at dead last in the National Football League after the offseason of 2022? Your Seattle Seahawks. He says they had the worst offseason of anybody in the National Football League. So
I don't know how you could have a worse offseason than the Falcons. They got rid of everybody.
They're 31st.
Okay.
He's got Atlanta at 31, and he's got the Seahawks at 32, and he's got a couple things here. What could they have done differently? He says, and the first thing he says, well, they could have kept Wilson and fired Carroll.
Okay.
Do we believe that the Seahawks should have kept Russell Wilson but fired Pete Carroll instead? Let's just stay right there because he is actually calling this a complete freaking disaster. He says they could have kept Wilson and fired Carroll if the relationship between the quarterback and the head coach had deteriorated to the point where one had to go. Seattle made the wrong choice, says Bill Barnwell. He's been a very good NFL coach, but he's 70 years old. The defense he helped mold into the league's best is gone as the Hawks fell to 21st in defensive DVOA a year ago. Carroll's choices for coordinators haven't worked out, and the unit has struggled to draft effectively for the better part of the last decade. It's tough to imagine that we'll look back in 5 years and feel like the Seahawks made the right choice between their head coach and the quarterback. Okay? So let's just have that conversation. 49451, should the Seahawks have fired Pete Carroll and kept Russell Wilson?
Absolutely not. Now, if you're going to tell me that we could have signed Russell Wilson to a four-year and a happy Russell Wilson,
right,
to a four-year extension worth $25 million a year,
mm-hmm.
then I can absolutely entertain the possibility of going in a different direction and putting the reins in Russell Wilson and having the flexibility to sign players around him.
So like half of what he could get
half
in the open market.
Half of what he could get in the open market. But Russell, we already know. We don't know what the future holds for the Seattle Seahawks over the next 3 to 5 years, but I think we're all pretty certain of what the future holds for the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are going to get progressively worse. They'll probably be good this year. They're going to get progressively worse because every single year, Russell Wilson is going to get a year older and Russell Wilson is going to make more money every single year. And that is not the recipe for a championship football team.
Well, then why didn't we talk about getting rid of Russell Wilson like 2 years ago then, right? I mean, if that's not the recipe for a championship caliber football team, which I kind of agree with you, by the way, I think the numbers show that the more you pay a quarterback, the harder it is to win a title. Why didn't we just get rid of the guy 2 years ago? I mean, we basically allowed Russell Wilson to dictate what the Seahawks did with him, because the minute he got pissed off, the minute he wanted out, the minute he wanted out of here, we said, fine.
Well, now look what you see in the NFL. You're seeing teams like the Cardinals go, I don't know if I want to do that. Teams like the Ravens go, don't know if I want to do that. And I think we're going to have more and more teams just like them saying, do we really want to give Lamar Jackson and or Kyler Murray 5 years at $50 million a year?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to do that.
Well, we'll see what happens with Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. Florio was on the air with us a couple of days ago. He thinks something will get done with Kyler Murray at some point very soon. So we'll see on Lamar. The Lamar thing seems kind of maybe a little bit different, because it sounds like he's the one that wants to hold off on doing a long-term deal, which that whole thing is just weird to me. Like, why a quarterback would want to wait to get a gigantic payday? But anyway, I think that that is a thought that a lot of people have, that the Seahawks made the wrong call. And look, it's not a thought that we're just bringing up for the first time here, Dick. On the 26th of May, the day the deal was done, there were people that were saying they should have gotten rid of Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson. Hell, 2-3 weeks, a month, a year before that deal went down with Russell Wilson, there were people saying they'd rather have the quarterback versus the head coach. I mean, I always think that the quarterback, for the most part, is going to have a bigger impact on your football team than the head coach. I mean, look at what Tom Brady did for Bruce Arians, for God's sakes. Right. Do we really believe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the damn Super Bowl because of freaking Bruce Arians or because of Tom Brady? I mean, get out of here. But it does get to a certain point where the quarterback's making so much money that it doesn't matter. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see what the text line says for testimonials of 445. And again, I don't mean to pick on Bill. I mean, you know, Bill's he says some weird stuff, but he every now and then he'll stumble upon a topic. It's kind of fun. He says the Seahawks should have gotten rid of Pete Carroll and they should have hung on to Russell Wilson. And I want to know if the fans out there agree with that at 49451.
Well, and when the fans text in, you got to take the finances into consideration.
Sure.
Because this is not just a Russ versus Pete conversation. Because if it's just a Russ versus Pete conversation, who is more important to winning in the short term for this football team, I can jump on the Russ bandwagon.
Absolutely.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what's best for this franchise going forward for the next 5 years, and paying Russell Wilson 35 and then 50 and then 55 and then $60 million a year is not the right thing to do.
How long do we give Pete Carroll, honestly? I don't think we've had that real conversation yet on the air. I think we've kind of maybe glossed over it, right? We've kind of
alluded
maybe
to
touched
it.
At
yeah.
it, you know, a little bit, alluded to it, whatever, come close to having it. But how long does Pete Carroll get? I mean, obviously he gets this year. We know that. You know, he's not going to get fired before the opener against Denver in week one. But if they roll out, because there's a difference between rebuilding and going through obvious rebuilding pains, the biggest one not having a quarterback, obviously, and then just being a cluster, right? So, like, we were all talking in the car on the way down here. Pete Carroll's going to want to run the ball. He's going to want to keep the game close, right? Like the game they lost to the Saints, for example, last year. What was the final? Like 13-10, whatever it was last season. They're going to want to have games like that where they just give themselves a chance to win in the fourth quarter. But what if they aren't like that? What if they can't run the ball? What if they're just completely inept on both sides of the ball and they're getting pounded every single week and they go 3-14 and they're losing by double digits every single week? Is there anything that the Seahawks could show you this year that would get you to believe when this year comes to an end that Pete Carroll's got to go? Or does he get this 1 year as a kind of a redo mulligan no matter what happens?
I think anything short of a Jim Mora 2009, he gets a mulligan.
They were 5-11.
And they quit on him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were losing. Go back and look at the second half of the season. They were losing games 42-10.
Packers game at Green
Bay. I mean,
Bay.
It was unbelievable. Slammed. So if Pete Carroll loses the ability, which I don't think he will, loses the ability to motivate his team, yep, to have his team play hard for him and have his team well prepared for every single game, which he does and has for a decade, if he loses that ability somehow and it just goes out the window, then, yeah, I think 1 year is a possibility. But I just don't see anything, any of those things happening.
Yeah, yeah, they had a stretch in 2009 where they got beat 34-7, 24-7, and 48-10 in three consecutive weeks by Houston, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay. And that was preceded by a 35-9, a 38-17 against Dallas, a 27-3 against Arizona.
See, Pete just doesn't get beat like that.
I remember, right, well, he hasn't yet, and I don't think he will, but you're
and
right.
He didn't in 2011 either,
remember,
when he had a bad team.
I remember the Dallas game, and I'm sure somebody can go back and find this if you really want, where Jim Mora was getting upset with the referees during that game, and he grabbed his balls during the game and looked at the ref and said, "Have some nuts," and he's grabbing his package during the game on the sideline, screaming at the referees. So, yeah, I mean, it was obvious kind of back then he was a bit in over his head. No question about it, the team gave up. And that's, I mean, look, that's obviously a nice little floor. If that happens, then forget about it, right? If total disaster strikes and the coach has lost control and they're getting crushed every single week, then, yes, you might want to say move on. But I don't think it's going to come down to that. I agree with you. That would be a shock if it did come down to that. But I do wonder how long the guy gets because, hey, having guys play hard for you only matters so much if you're not winning games, right? So let's say they roll out of 5-12, but the guys are playing hard.
Yeah. They lose a bunch of games by three.
But then let's say next year in 2023 they go 5-12 again. Same thing. I mean, he's not getting the longest leash in the world.
No.
He doesn't have a lifetime contract. At some point, the guy's going to have to show you that they can do this again. I think 2 years is good. I think you give him 2 years. I think you give him 2 years to evaluate this thing. And at the end of 2 years, if it's clear as day, it's not going to work. If it's clear as day that time has passed him by, that he can't figure it out, then I say you cut bait and you move on.
I think that's totally fair. I think you treat this like like it was the beginning of his career here in Seattle.
Right.
And this year, if they find some pieces, Hugh and I talked about that last week. What would our topic was what would constitute a successful season for the Seattle Seahawks? And it really wasn't a number. It was really, did you find at least one of your two starting cornerbacks for the next
that's
5 years?
That's what I told you.
Did you find your right and left tackle for the next 5 seasons? Did you find all these other pieces? And you can do that this year without winning 6 games.
Yeah.
You can still find those pieces because you don't have the quarterback. Then you go get the quarterback in the draft next year, and hopefully by the end of year number two, you're going to have a pretty well put together roster, and you'll know whether or not that first round draft pick you used in the 2023 draft is going to be any good.
Well, I do think the topic that Barnwell brings up is interesting to me because I think it's something that there are going to be people out there, including people in our town, that will follow. They'll follow what Pete Carroll does, and they'll follow what Russell Wilson does. And maybe it's an unfair comparison because Russell Wilson is going to have his roster. Pete Carroll is going to have his roster, blah, blah, blah. So it's impossible to know what these guys would have done if they had stuck together in Seattle. But if Russell Wilson goes out and kills it in Denver and Pete Carroll ends up stinking in Seattle, there's going to be a lot of talk like this. I mean, you will not be able to get away from that. People will continue to hammer you and say, I told you, they should have gotten rid of Pete Carroll, and they should have kept the damn quarterback. So whether we like it or not, whether they like it or not, there's going to be some comparisons going on here between these two guys.
Well, I'd like to
it's
talk.
Going to be kind of fun, to be honest
it
with you.
It will be fun, and I'd like to talk maybe in the next segment we have time about.
We have no time. We're out of time.
Who has more pressure on them? Who has more pressure in 2022?
Right.
And who has more pressure in 2022 to 2024?
Yeah, I have
Pete
an answer
Carroll
for
or
you.
Russell Wilson?
I have an answer for you. I'll give it to you next segment. By the way, the Mariners have already made a move. Drew Steckenrider has been optioned to AAA Tacoma. We said yesterday on the off day, there's usually a big move when the team is going down the toilet. I wouldn't call that a big move, but they've made a move with Steckenrider. He's no longer in the bullpen, at least for now. So Mariners have the day off today. What they're doing with that day off, I have no idea. Maybe going to see a shrink, for God's sakes, and trying to get their heads right, for God's sakes. Maybe the guy from The Natural. Remember that shrink they brought in? Losing is a disease. Like a ship gently rocking. And then Roy Hobbs gets up and takes off. I'm not even sure if anybody on this team would play the role of Roy Hobbs. Seager would have been that guy for sure. He would have said, the hell with us. I'm not doing that crap. But we'll talk some baseball. Brett Boone's going to join us at 4 o'clock. We'll ask Booney, look, we asked you guys yesterday, you know, what do? Is there a drastic move? You know, I heard Jim Moore today, you know, driving around town. He says he would fire Jerry DePoto and Scott Service right now. Just the hell with it. It's not working. They've been here for 6+ years. And, I mean, how much time does a duo deserve? I mean, look, I mean, whether we like the idea of the rebuild or not, this is this their seventh season together? These two guys? Or is it their sixth year together? Because Jerry was hired in September of 2015. So 16, 17, 18, 19. This is their seventh year. So if this doesn't work in year seven and they come back for an eighth year, I don't know how anybody could look down on somebody else who says, this is ridiculous. There ain't a GM and a manager duo in the history of baseball that would get 8 damn years to figure something out before they make the playoffs. So 49451 for all those topics. We're at the Sports Star Banquet. Big night for Graz and Gas as we continue on a busy Thursday here from the Westin on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, back here at the Seattle Sports Star Banquet at the Westin Hotel. Softy and Dick until 7 o'clock tonight. One half of the duo being honored today with the Keith Jackson Award. Mike Gastineau will join us in about 15, 20 minutes here on the radio station. Brett Boone will be here as well at 4 o'clock, courtesy of our friends at VenueKings.com. And speaking of the Mariners, I'm gonna throw you a stat, all right? I'm going to throw you a stats are for losers here on the radio show if I can here.
Stats are for losers.
And I want you to tell me which one of our mutual buddies sent us this statistic. All right, you ready?
Okay.
This guy says, and I gave it away, it's a guy. Okay, so that narrows it down to half the population. I looked this up. Mariners currently at a 400 win rate. To win 90 games, they got to play the rest of the year at 625. All right, you tracking me so far?
Mm-hmm.
In their 45-year history, their best record, 2001, they won at a rate of 716. Their second best percentage of all time is 574 when they won 93 games. So to get to 90 wins, which did not make the playoffs a year ago, this currently 400 team would have to win at a rate significantly better than the second best Mariner team of all time the rest of the way. Who do you think sent that text our way?
Well, probably a member of the 93.3 KJR Mariners Are a Disaster show of record, Kevin Shockey.
That would be incorrect. It's this guy.
What's that, Dick?
Hugh Millen is now diving into the baseball analysis world.
He would be one of the last people I would ever guess that would send that nugget.
Well, I'll tell you why, because he's bored out of his freaking mind. That's why, okay? Because he's now jumping on the internet and looking at baseball numbers. So, I mean, it's daunting, right? Like when you look at it like that, it's daunting. They gotta basically play at like 100 win pace the rest of the way to win 90 games. And there's nothing about this baseball team that tells you right now that they can do something like that. And, you know, like I said earlier, man, you know, I'm driving around town, driving on the Dez, and I'm hearing Jim and Puck, one of my favorite shows on the radio station. It's one of my four favorite shows on this radio station is Jim and Puck every day.
I'm just old and cynical and banged out and all those things.
It's on the list of the top four, all right? And he says they should fire Scott Service and Jerry DePoto right now. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but, man, do I understand it. I totally understand it. Because here's the thing. I don't know if firing a general manager or firing a skipper at this point is going to have any hill of beans impact on the 2022 baseball season. But you get to a point later in the year where maybe you want somebody else running your draft. Like, I'm trying to remember when the Mariners fired Bill Bavese. Remember that?
Yep.
They fired Bill Bavese and they promoted Lee Pelikoutis. I think that was after the draft, or was it before the draft? I always find it funny when teams fire their GMs like after the draft. Like, let the guy draft and then fire him and get rid of his whole scouting department while you're at it too. But you want to make a statement. You want to do something drastic. I don't know if it really helps the team right now, but I think if this thing spirals out of control and it goes further into the abyss, I think that is a conversation that John Stanton absolutely is going to have over the offseason, for sure.
Jason Smith was exactly right last night when he said...
Who's Jason Smith? Oh, the Fox guy. That's yeah, right. I forgot. Fox. Yeah.
When he said, if you're 500 going into September, you are in the race, particularly this year with so many wild card teams, and particularly because the third place team in the divisions is not going to be much further over 500. So you don't have to worry about playing, what'd you say, 64% baseball or whatever. You know what you got to do? You got to find a way to play 500 the rest of the season and then have three series or three 10-game stretches where you go 7-3 and you're over 500. I mean, that's what you can't look at it as like, we got to play 65% baseball, which is better than we've done in every year but one in their entire – no. If you go 6-3 and then you go 500 for 10 games, and then you go 6-3 and you go 500 for 10 games, and then you go 6-3, guess what? You're 500 before September 1st. And that sounds a lot less daunting than going – having your best five-month stretch in Mariner history.
Well, so to say, let's just win tomorrow. I mean, that sounds less daunting, too.
Right.
I'm just paying
– it starts with tomorrow.
But I'm being
Scott
sarcastic
exactly
with
right.
you. I'm
Scott
right,
Service
but
is
I,
exactly right when he said that last night. But, he says we cannot look at the long term. You have to look at the short term.
But that's because he's a manager.
But
that's
right.
Why. But he's the manager. He's talking to his players. We're fans. We can do whatever the hell we want. We can look at it from any perspective we want. The bottom line is they have to play that kind of baseball, whether you like this approach or not, whether it bothers you or not, that is a fact. To win 90 games, the Mariners have got to play at a ridiculous clip starting today the rest of the way. Okay? Now, again, if you're trying to inspire people to do something different, like let's say Dixon comes home and he's got D's all over his report card, and if that continues, he's going to get thrown out of school. And he's going to end up, you know, working at, you know, freaking a gas station for the rest of his life. You don't say, Dixon, between now and your senior year of high school, you have to ace every class. You would say, Dixon, let's just start by getting a B in your next class or a C in your next class.
Right.
But that's he's your son, okay? So
but that's the,
you
but
look
that's
at
the
it
rational
different,
perspective.
But again, Dick, you're missing the point. There's a different message for different people. There's a different message for Scott Service to his players, and there's a different message, I think, from the fans, and there's a different message from maybe guys in the media. The reality is they do have to do that. Now, to get to that point, they're better off approaching it a different way. Everyone's trying to get to the same point, right? The top of the pyramid, the top of the mountain is winning 90 games. Let's just reset this thing and say you got to win 90 games. There's different ways to get there, right? There's this path, there's that path, there's this path, there's that path. They're all the same damn thing when it's all said and done. Scott Service is just painting a much less daunting and a much less crazy path full of landmines so his players aren't so freaked out by it. I get that. I totally get it.
I mean, which perspective works the best? The rational perspective or the hyper passionate emotional perspective?
But,
which usually solves problems the best?
But we're talking about two different things here. From Scott Service's perspective, that one, for sure. Totally.
But we're talking about solving the problem, right?
Right, but we can't solve the problem. We have nothing to do with it. Scott Service can solve the problem. His players can solve the problem. You and I going on the air and talking about this unbelievable hole that the Mariners are. I mean, like for example, why do you think Scott Service came out yesterday? And you said this on the air, and you're exactly right. Why he said it was a critical point of the year. Because if this continues, the hole is going to be too big.
That's right.
To climb out of. That's why it's a critical point of the year, okay? So I get Scott Service's approach. Because Scott Service is the guy that's talking to these players every single day in the clubhouse. You and I are just sitting here as two schmucks on the radio talking about what these guys got to pull off. And what they have to pull off is pretty amazing. We'll see if they can do it.
But for anybody that wants to fire Scott Servais and Jerry Dipoto right now,
Jim Moore wants to fire both of them.
I would ask two simple questions.
Okay.
One, who are you going to get in May of 2022
right.
that's better than
right.
Scott Servais and Jerry Dipoto?
Right.
And two, what would it accomplish in 2022?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
do you have answers for those things if you want to fire Jerry Dipoto and Scott Servais right now?
Let me play the role of Jim Moore here for a second. Let me put on my crimson and gray
I'm
here.
I'm just old and cynical and burned out and all those
which
things.
Which makes me want to vomit, but let me play the role of Jim Moore. What I would say to you is that, first of all, it's not going to mean a hill of beans difference for their win-loss total in 2022, but I don't care because 2022 is done. 2022 is over. As this roster is presently constructed and the hole that they're in right now, they're not going anywhere. So I have punted on 2022.
But that only answers part of my question.
No, but I'm not done yet. I have punted on 2022. Okay. I don't care about 2022. I've seen almost 7 years of this crap. It's not working. This franchise needs a culture change, and these guys can't provide it. The sooner you get them out and the sooner you can start seeing if there's anybody else in your organization that maybe could take over that role, the better off you are. We don't know if we have the next answer on staff right now, but we do know that the guys that you do have right now are not the answer. That's what I would say if I were Jim Moore. That's what I would
say. Well, how would you answer the second part of the question?
Which is what? Remind me again.
Which was, how would you find somebody that can turn this ship around in the middle of May when they're all employed by other? You wouldn't care how they do in the future?
I just told you I don't care. I don't care until the offseason.
You said you don't care about 20.
Until the offseason.
Oh, so you'd hire an interim GM.
I would just give the job to Chris Negron. I would give the job to Chris Negron and bump up the chubby kid. Let him be the GM. Andy McKay for the rest of the way. Give him the job. Because that's what I'm telling you. I mean, first of all, we've seen coaches get fired early in the year before in basketball. We've seen it in baseball. Hell, Lenny Wilkins, who's going to be here tonight, took over after 22, 23 games in 1977, 1978. So we've seen it before. And I don't know. I mean, Sam Schulman or Zali Volchuk aren't around to answer the question, but I would love to ask them, you know, did they look at, was it Bob Hoskins? Is that the guy's name that got fired? For Lenny, did they look at him and think, hey, this guy's not getting the job done, so we know that's the fact. Let's get rid of him now. Or we know Bob's not the guy, but we also love this Lenny guy. So let's make Lenny Wilkins the coach. I have no idea what their thought process was back then. It was 45 damn years ago. Hey, look, I'm not saying I agree with Jim either. I would just give these guys the year to see if something can happen, to see if they can turn it around. But I also understand why somebody like Jim Moore would make that statement today, because this has been a disaster start of the baseball season, and 7 years in, these guys have not shown anybody that this is going to work at the major league level.
Well,
this hasn't happened.
Here's the difference. You were exactly right. It was Bob Hoskins. Scott Servais, you know, my opinion on Scott Servais is very meh, but at least he has shown the ability to be a 500 manager over 6 years, which he is. I mean, he's basically a 500 manager, which is Bob Hoskins was 5-17.
Right.
So it was easy to take a coach that had been there for 2 months and you say, this is not working well, and getting rid of him, a lot easier than changing your whole plan that you had over the last 6 years, which a lot of that plan worked very, very well.
Hey, I get it. Well, I mean, define work well. I mean, they haven't done anything of significance yet. I mean, I get what you're saying when you say well. You're saying that they're rising up the ladder. If there's a 12-step plan here, they might be on step number 6 or step number 7, but they're not on step number 10.
That's right.
And they certainly are moving in the right direction. But again, I mean, how long do they get? Pete Carroll doesn't get forever, and Jerry Dipoto and Scott Servais don't get forever. So I think that these are two organizations, in my opinion, where both of them, Pete Carroll from the Seahawks and Jerry and Scott Servais, and way more Jerry and Scott than Pete, by the way, because Pete's got the resume, have got to start showing that they can do this, that they can take this to the next step. We'll get a break. A guy who absolutely knows what he's doing. He's the recipient, along with his old partner, of the Keith Jackson Award. Mike Gastineau is going to join us and turn the heat on in here. Coming up next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, another glorious radio moment with Gras and Gans.
Well, I think we're having fun now, Evan.
Barbara Hedges was adamant that nothing had been decided until the last couple of days. I mean, she couldn't have been more adamant. Were you surprised that she didn't say, well, we've actually been talking about this for a couple of weeks?
Well, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Damn it, don't answer my question. I'm here with you and you're wishy-washy answers.
Now, Gras and Gas. The one and only home of Gras with Gas. Salutes Dave Grosby and Mike Gastineau. 2022 Keith Jackson Award winners at the Sports Star of the Year Awards. Hear us anywhere, anytime on Alexa or Google Play at Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM and on the iHeartRadio app. Now back to Softy and Dick.
Still running like a half right wristwatch.
No, we just want to make you feel comfortable, pal.
That's true. That's all we're doing here. We just want to make you feel comfortable. That rejoin we just ran, by the way, either A, was sped up for time purposes, or B, was recorded when you were like 11 years old.
Like a chipmunk.
I was glad Don was on there and hearing Vic Orlando's voice, but I'm like, who is it? That's not me.
All right, Don, tell me about Barbara Hedges.
So that was, you know, for those of you who ever missed the Don Borst show on KJ, that was a good example of what happened the nights.
I don't know. Yeah, Don, what do you make of the game tomorrow? Well, I don't know.
We're going to watch.
Find out. Well, one half of the award-winning duo. Let's put your hands together, everybody, for Mike Gastineau. His partner, Dave Grosby, tonight will be given the Keith Jackson Award for Sports Media Excellence in our town. How about that?
It's really cool. I mean, Dave and I have talked. We talk a lot anyway, but we've talked about this specifically probably once a week for a couple of months.
There you go.
Just how excited we are and how cool it is and all those things that we threaten we're going to say that we're probably not going to say.
tonight? Maybe?
Yeah. You get up there and really, you know, okay, we got a few scores. Everybody settle back. We got some scores to settle.
How many nervous people are like, oh, man.
Well, Graz is like, this is probably the last time we'll have a chance to do anything like this. You know, let's go out and just throwing big roundhouses.
Praise the glory. Let's go.
Yeah. It's exciting. I mean, it's really cool. And, you know, Dave hit on this a while back that we're, you know, depending on how you want to look at the late, great John Clayton's career, I look at him more as a writer and as a TV guy. And he certainly did radio talk. But Dave and I are the first full-time radio talk show people to get this award. Yep. Some great Seattle legends have won this award. So it's cool to kind of represent and hopefully open the door for, you know, people, this is a tough job you guys have. I mean, it is not easy doing this day after day, and it's neat to get recognized.
By the way, I got to just jump in. When you said open the door for, you're like, nah, not really.
No, yeah.
But
he
just kind of looked at us and, the hell with it.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe. This could be it, by the way. This could be the last time they ever do this.
I don't know. Maybe. You guys could get there. You never know.
Yeah, forget
about it. Look, here's how we got in. You know how we got in? They ran out of other people.
That's exactly
right.
That's
what happens. It's the roulette wheel.
That's
and
the only
it
hope
on
we've
you.
Got. Exactly. Yeah. It's like the NFL coaching, circle, man.
Right.
Just a bunch of retreads keep jumping on the bus.
Something will open up, yeah.
How much preparation with Gras have you done for what you're going to say, or is it just going to be totally ad-lib?
I think we're it's so funny. You know, my whole time with Dave, I was the organizer. I was the guy keeping things on the track, and Gras is like, eh, whatever. And after this, Dave's like, you think maybe we should kind of work out what we're going to do? And I'm like, no, I think we should wing it.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of time. They've got a lot to get done tonight, so it'll only just be thank yous and maybe a couple of good one-liners, but it's very cool. And I'm glad because, you know, Dave has had some challenges health-wise, and, you know, when we first – you found out about this. I said, good. Now you got to get yourself, you know, ready to go by May 26th. And we came in and did your show a month ago. And and he's, you know, getting back to the idea of getting around a little bit. So
I was hearkening back today. You've told us the story before about packing up your stuff and getting your car and driving out here from Indiana to take this job, you know, 33, 34 years ago, whatever it was. And what did you really think this was going to be?
Yeah, I didn't know. I really felt like small fish, bigger pond, and that was going to be good for me. I was in Virginia. I was at James Madison.
There you go, right, yeah.
So I drove all the way across country. Renee was living in Bismarck, North Dakota at the time, working for National Public Radio.
Wow.
And I stayed there for a couple of days, and her boss was great. He was like, oh, if it doesn't work out there, you can always come back here. And I'm like, we could, I guess. Renee stayed in Bismarck for a while just in case. And I got out here, and it was huge, and it was a little intimidating. But it was exciting, man, because we were, you know, I didn't realize it at the time, so I'm back on now. We were creating something. Sports talk radio existed at night for an hour or two, and not it was great stuff. But the idea of we're going to do this all the time, and we're going to cover all the press conferences, we're going to do it, and it's like, how do we do this? Well, I don't know. How do we do it? And we kind of made it up as we went, and we trial and error.
So the fan had launched, obviously, when you came out here in New York.
Yeah, Dave says he thinks we were like number 4. I think we might have been closer to 6, but we're real early on.
Right.
I think the fan, I think Whip had gotten on in Philly. I think EEI in Boston, and I want to say Dallas had started.
With a ticket,
And the whole thing was, well, it won't work anywhere outside of New York. Well, it won't work anywhere outside of the East Coast. Dallas is, and it was like, Seattle, and you know, you start saying, no, it's going to work everywhere. People love talking about sports.
Do you think it was a little easier moving from east to west because of the difference in rabidity level with the fan bases here versus in the East Coast? If you would have grown up in, you know, Cheney, Washington, and moved to Philadelphia,
right,
do you think that would have been more difficult?
No, yes, with my style, which I didn't know what my style was. But as I got out here and I started realizing, well, I said, you know what, this is the perfect place for me. I don't know that I'd work or last long in Boston or New York or Philly. I might have. But I think you got to be it's a different type of show you're doing there, I think. You know,
you're the voice of reason, Cass. Voice of reason works.
Where did that start, by the way? Do you remember where that started?
A caller, somebody hung that on me. And then when I said I was ready for the NBA Finals to be over in 96, when it was obvious the Bulls were going to win, Jeremy, the Sonics guy, the late Jeremy, hung the voice of treason on me. Like, hang on. But the callers and that was, to me, in all honesty, that's the thing that I miss the most is interacting with callers. And you know, the whole industry got a little bit away from it. You know,
sure,
you try and do
totally
it, but,
different animal
you
know, now.
And
right?
People aren't as quick to use their cell phones and all that. But I loved the idea. You know, Pat O'Day used to tell me, I may have told you this before, I'm starting to repeat myself, but Pat said, I love your shows, and he meant everybody. He says, I love KJR because I never know what's going to happen next. He goes, that's what radio was. Right? Radio now is so pre-programmed and consulted and broadcasting even is that way. It's like, come on, man. Let it fly once in a while. Yeah. I posted yesterday, I ran into Kenny Mayne, and he goes, hey, thanks for the post yesterday. And Kenny Mayne on the Mariners game for a half inning.
Yeah.
Half inning.
I saw you said that.
Keep him on for an inning or two. Right. He's funny as hell. He's unpredictable. You don't know what direction. That's what I want as a. I'm a listener now and a viewer. I don't. I'm like, come on. And I know he had a schedule. He probably had other things to do. He's not that busy. He's Kenny Mayne, for Pete's sake.
You know, it's just nothing's changed. He bitched about radio when he worked in radio, and now he's bitching about radio when he's done with radio.
That's all I'm doing.
And by the way, if you miss the callers, we can give your number out. People can call you whenever you want.
Please, that'd be great. You know, I like calls after midnight.
There you go. Done. Hey, well, listen, man, we're proud of you. Honestly, we don't say that a lot, but we are proud as hell of you and Dave for what you've done, not just for this radio station and for two knuckleheads like us, but I was telling Dick, I remember sitting in my bedroom when I was 17 years old, looking up at a radio, hearing you talk about the Huskies winning the national title.
Yeah.
It was 32 years ago.
I remember that day, too. It's so funny. I remember that real clear because a friend of mine from the East Coast had come out, and it was the first time he heard me out here, and he says, you're crazy. Miami would not drub this team.
There you go.
They would not. I don't have any skin in the game on either side. I'm telling you, Washington would mop up the field.
And who could
guys.
Disagree with an award winner on that,
that's
by
right,
the way?
True.
All right. Hey, have fun.
We're wrapping up?
You want to hang around?
Why do we have to hang around?
Hey, why are we wrapping up?
We do this new thing that's called commercials now. You may have heard of them.
So Brett Boone's coming up
next segment, right?
Was Rich Amaral busy or what?
He was busy. And Andy Sheets was busy, too.
All those Dustin Ackley? It's the Dustin Ackley show.
Jeff Manto was busy, too. Hey, we got Jeff Manto. Who? All right. Yes, you're the man. Have fun tonight. Enjoy it, all right? We'll talk soon.
We'll see you around, right? Are you leaving? Are you staying?
No, we're done. We're not going to hang. Is there food?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're staying.
Right,
there are drinks.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Mike Gastineau with us. Him and Groz getting the Keith Jackson Award later on tonight. We're at the Sports Star Banquet. Brett Boone coming up because Jeff Manto couldn't do the show. Next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.